Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to Rugby Pod. I'm Andrew Bryan. Big Jim and Goody are with me as usual. We're going to take a look at the Premiership action from the bank holiday weekend and chat about England and Scotland's international summers ahead. Plus, we're going to go Route 1 China and running all over the top of your face with Sale England and British and Irish Lions centre Manu Tuilagi joining us. So peel back, open your cloth and make sure you've subscribed to Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
We've got our first live show in over 18 months coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's on the 23rd of June. It's sold out, but you can still get tickets to watch the show live from anywhere in the UK or around the world. Just visit dice.fm and search for the Rugby Pod.
And roll the dice. Get it?
23rd of June. I've just got a question. 21st of June is basically get your slippers out. Actually, throw your slippers away. Everything's open again.
It's Judgment Day.
Well, it's Freedom Day, isn't it? So surely, if he says release day, Freedom Day, 21st of June, we can sell a load more tickets as well.
Bring a friend, but not a wife. That's all I'm saying.
How's your weekend, boys?
How what? Did the sun get up to Scotland, Jim? Or
sun was out here. Andrew, I'm going to talk about my week before we can talk about your farm again. You love it there. Lads, hell of a week. Hell of a week. And you were part of that journey. So luckily for me, I was back doing what I do best. I was in the Lions camp interviewing the lads. They weren't overly keen to chat to me because they got together on the Tuesday night. I was interviewing them on the Wednesday for the famous grouse, which was lovely. It was just lovely to be around testosterone-fueled athletes again. And you know, the weird thing about it was, it felt right, lads. Me being in a Lions camp, it just felt right.
Just doing interviews.
But let's brush over that. Because more importantly, I got to see your good self, Andrew and Andy Rowe. Now, for the millions of listeners, right, who watched Friends Reunion. Did you watch Friends Reunion?
I've not seen it yet, no.
You need to watch it, lads, because it was genuinely like Friends Reunion, because it's been a while, right? And anyone who watched Friends Reunion on whatever channel it was on, Sky or whatever, I'm a big Friends fan. Well, Beck is. I'm a big kind of Joey, Chandler and Jennifer, all of them. I'm a big fan of all of them anyway. Having watched that and having spent some time with you two, it was very similar. Andrew, your good self, you've aged like Joey in the last 18 months.
I did see some pictures of him. How big?
Ridiculous. Yeah, Andy Rowe. He was comfortable. Andy Rowe, you, Chandler, mate, sat there on Thursday when we were together, didn't say a word the whole time we were there, like Chandler. David Swimmer, my good self. Gosh, he's a fine wine. Just thriving. And that's how I felt, lad, seeing you. So we obviously met on the Wednesday or Thursday, don't know when it was, last week sometime, and then got home, watched that, and I was just smiling. And Beck said, what are you smiling? I said, that was us. I said, that was me and the boys from the Rugby Pod. Producer Tim won't lad out because he's got a kid. And, well, we've all got kids, but they're a little bit older. Andy Rowe hasn't got a kid, but he's Chandler. And, lads, it was good to see us. What I'm trying to say is it was good to see him be reunited again.
No, it was good fun. So, started. That just got the taste buds going. A few G&Ts with, my closest work colleagues. Just led into the bank holiday weekend and, a few drinks. And then you take the girls to a farm and then you end up in a pub.
Talking of bank holiday, because it's bank holiday, I get invited every week to go and play touch with the lads. Because Monday we didn't record, it's now Tuesday recording. I've gone to play touch rugby last night. No word of a lie, I have been on my back all day. My back's gone. And Beck's just finished work and we've gone into town for a bit of food earlier before I've come home and lay on my back. And I've got anxiety walking around town. And she's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I've got this weird thing in my head that if someone starts on me, Beck, that I'm not going to be able to fight. I'm not going to be able to fight back. So back to house. She's like, well, look, what a weird thing to say. Like, why are you so weird like that? But genuinely, I'm walking around because it's obviously a lot busier. I'm walking around town with anxiety because my back is in pieces. That if someone starts on me and the missus, I can't protect her. I can't protect myself, lads. So I just want to put it out there. I've got a match to play in August for the Matt Ratana Foundation. That's me. I'm done. Once that is out of the way, rugby, you're dead to me. I did an hour of touch and I'm happy to put it out there. I was an embarrassment, lads, genuinely.
Well, nothing changes there, Jim, does it, to be honest?
Yeah, but, you know, I've still had this, you know, this thing that I could still do it and still put it about. So I will put it out there. It's official breaking news. I'm retiring. That's it from rugby.
Apart again?
From this, yeah. But, you know, this will be breaking news now because there was still a chance.
It's quite ironic, really, Jim, because you mentioned this earlier to me on the phone about the fact that you played touch and your back went. And it was only a couple of weeks ago, Andy Rowe, you were doing that Ironman. Was it an Ironman? What was it, Andy Rowe?
I see where you're going with this. He's going to pull out on Ben Nevis again.
I'm not pulling out of Ben Nevis. I'll walk up there backwards, lads.
This walk up there backwards. Oh, you're odd. Just you and exercise, playing rugby, doing something that you think you've got it all still, and you're in the Lions camp and you said it felt right, and it would have done 12 years ago. You got to remember that your 40-year-old body now, it ain't the same as it was 14 years ago. And you were pretty bang average at fitness and things then, weren't you? But you could maul till the cows come home. There ain't no mauling in touch ruggers, is there?
I've retired, lads. I've said it. I've put it out there now to the millions. I'm retiring. I'm done. But let's just get it out there. Ben Nevis in 2 weeks' time, I'm walking up there backwards, back or no back. But I've got the Tour de FNL at the weekend. I've got 120-kilometre, let's just call it a 500-kilometre cycle at the weekend. That's the warm-up. Now, come wind, rain or back, I am peeling back. I'm getting on the bike, peel back, and I'm cycling 120 kilometres. So I've got to live up to what my Uncle Paul said, or my Uncle John, whichever one it was. He said, I'm one of the artists who have done it, and you'll see me out there on the roads, lads. I'm all right.
Well, before we get into the Premiership games from the weekend, Gloucester, the game against Bath this weekend has been called off because of a COVID outbreak at King's Home. Do you guys know any more details on what's going on there?
Well, I don't know who to blame, but Hartbury College have called their game off, or it's been called off against Saracens, the big one at the weekend, and none of them got points, weirdly enough. Different in the Championship, or it's just because of Saris. But yeah, obviously I know a little bit about the situation because it's been on the news, and my best mate's the manager there. Ravo is also the COVID manager. So I was like, is this your fault? He's like, no, it's not anyone's fault. But look, obviously, we don't want to joke about it, do we? Because we don't know how poorly some of the players might be. But yeah, it's been called off. I think Bath have got the 4 points. If you're Gloucester, you're devastated because that win against London Irish at the weekend gave them hope of making the top eight, which would have meant Heineken Champions Cup rugby. And off the back of the transition that they've had and the season that they had at the beginning of the year, for me personally, obviously love the club. Got a lot of mates there. I don't know how it's going to unravel now, but ultimately the cases are in their camp, and we know that the rules and the regulations around it would mean that they need to give up that match and the opposition get 4 points.
The opposition will get 4 points, but I think Gloucester will get 2 from what's gone on before. So they're still in with a shout, Jim. Last game of the season, they'll play if they can play it. And that, you know, your first thought is hoping everyone's okay in the Gloucester camp and, you know, it's not too serious an outbreak, and the people that have caught it are, you know, on the mend pretty quickly. But Gloucester will get 2 points from this, which puts them up to 43. Wasps obviously are on 43 at the minute anyway, and Gloucester's last game is Worcester away, which Worcester haven't won a game since day one of the season. So, you know, it's still all to play for Gloucester if they can overcome everything and get everything right for that last game of the season. If it's really bad and they have to miss the next two games, then, yeah, more than likely they are out the race.
Well, Bath were well beaten by Quins at the weekend, which means the top four's officially sewn up. Jim, you must be pretty happy with that. Quins are in, locked in.
Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped, never in doubt. What a game. And fair play to Quins. They've got a bit of underbelly now. I saw a bit of Marla's belly hanging out in one of the scrums, and that was the difference towards the end, wasn't it, really? Do you know what I mean? You look at the physicality that they brought, because it was an open game, there was loads of tries, it was really great to watch on the eye, but ultimately it was the scrum at the end. We saw Adam Jones sweating profusely with all that hair in the mane. The cameras kept showing up on him, but look, fair play. You know, the Quins aren't there by fluke. It's been a difficult season to get into that top four, to get into the top eight like we've just spoken about. And I enjoyed it, Andrew. You know, Bath play some decent rugby as well when they want.
Yeah, they did. Max Ajomo threw a lovely seed over the top for one of the tries. Marcus Smith pulling the strings again for Quins. And yeah, listen, the run that Quins went on, they fully deserve their spot in the top four. Obviously, there was a change when Guzzi left earlier in the season. And, you know, they've been galvanised since then, really, led by Marcus Smith. It's one of those things, you look at Quins and they've got so much X factor around how they play now. Yeah, Dom Brandt's offload for one of the tries as well was absolutely ridiculous. Pure class. And they just pull defenders out the line. Marcus Smith does it so well. Danny Kerr did at times. Landaho when he came on. Danny Kerr actually got hooked off after 50-odd minutes.
Hooked?
Yeah, 100% got hooked. His defence. He was playing well ball in hand, but his defence, you watch some of his defence, it's like he didn't want to tackle. It was the old Quins of, you know, we'll play touch, but we'll score more tries than you, so we'll win it, which, you know, doesn't win you knockout games, really, does it? So I think they leak a lot of tries, Quins. They leak a lot of points, but they score a hell of a lot as well, which is good in the league phases. You get to a semi-final, and yeah, we're still waiting to see how it pans out, who's going to finish top, because obviously Exeter is still in the mix to finish top, who's going to finish second. So that whole 1-4 could move a little bit. So yeah, I mean, Quins, they deserve their place in the top four. They're rank outsiders, and I don't mean that in a mean kind of way. I just mean you look at the other three teams that have properly got some grit about them. Knockout rugby, when you're leaking 30-odd points a game, which Quins have done, it's a different kettle of fish. So,
Andrew, I'll say it. This is the end of the road for Quins. This is it. This is, oh, you're horrible, this is it. This is as good as it gets. I've said it.
You're horrible, Jim.
Well, forget about the top four. Wasps' top eight chances were dealt a blow after losing at Northampton, weren't they, Goody?
Yeah, they were. And there's a few talking points.
I know he's going to say this.
There is.
I enjoyed it superficially. Sun's out, guns out and all that. A few sunburnt heads. Dan Robson, Al Burnt is his head, but he's probably used to it now. He's been bowled for about 2 or 3 years. Andrew, he was like, Jim, there's a few talking points from this game. Ribbons in the line out and all this thing. Did you see this? I didn't see it. I didn't see it, lads. Just saw Northampton rock up and score some decent tries.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Northampton deserved to win. Let's set the scene first. Yeah, Courtney Laws was back fit and firing, and I think he was actually asking to come off towards the end because he was, I think it was his first game back, and he put in a hell of a stint, didn't he? You know, turnovers left, right and centre. And, you know, Saints deserve to win, but there's some key talking points. And when it is going to boil down to the minute details of, you know, the back end of the season now where there's effectively a knockout game this weekend. Wasps play London Irish. Whoever wins that probably will end up in the top eight. And it's at London Irish. And then the last game of the season, Wasps play Leicester at the Rico, which is soon to be called the Coventry Building Society Arena.
Oh, I used to have Cov Building Society. Actually, I still have. I've got about £6 in my account with Cov Building Society.
Well, mate, £6 is now probably about £6,000, Jim. You're loaded.
No, it's £6 now. It was obviously okay. Minus £100 or minus £1,000. I don't know. But yeah, I've had that since I was a kid. Cheers, Mum.
Yeah, so a few talking points. So people point fingers at referees and TMOs. Graham Hughes was a TMO.
Go on.
And it's literally like he was having the biggest poo ever in the last 15 minutes, whether he was watching it, whether he wasn't, whether he didn't want to check stuff. And it all boils down to 23-20 to Saints. They're ahead. Everyone's talked about this shot that Bigger put on Umunga's head with his shoulder in a ruck, which they didn't even look at. And to me, it's not a red card. You know, Bigger's gone to clean him out. He's caught him in the head. You know, Ashton got sent off a few weeks back for something of a similar kind of dimension, but with, you know, Bigger's one was a lot less powerful. There was, you know, there wasn't much in it, but it was a penalty. It probably was a yellow card. Bigger then puts a lovely kick into the corner. Wasps have a line out 5 metres out from their own line. Short line out. Ball comes in from Tom Cruise. Will Rollins takes it. David Ribbons, who had a good game, is up in the air, slaps it down out of his hands. So it's either a penalty, it should have either been a penalty for slapping out of his hands. That ball then goes forward. Tom Wood picks it up, dives over, scores. Graham Hughes is like, just finishing my biscuit. Yeah, no, that's fine. Play on, try. Yeah, carry on. Like he hadn't even watched it. So that then
who's eating
Saints...
biscuits in that heat? Who is eating a biscuit?
Well, he's probably at the ice cream van, to be fair to him. But yeah, I mean, that put Saints 30 points to 20 up. And Graham Hughes is one of the most experienced TMOs in the land. Yeah, it seems, you know, you go back to the Newcastle Wasps game when Carreras has gouged Josh Bassett, clear as day on TV. Graham Hughes hasn't even noticed it. He's like, no, he held him up. No, he held him up. It wasn't a try. No, but he just said he's gouged him. Yeah, exactly. So, Yeah, I mean, Lee Blackett came out and said he was disappointed. You know, luckily Wasps, it's quite kind of interesting. Wasps get a penalty after the 80th minute. And I'm thinking, just kick the goal, take the 3 points, which gives you a losing bonus point. And they go to the corner. I'm like, boys, just take the three. But maybe Jacob Umunga didn't fancy the kick. Luckily, they end up scoring a try. And even again at the end, so they score the try. Willis scores a try. They go back for the kickoff. Then there's a high tackle. And Graham, it's 100% a seatbelt tackle. So, and the TMO's been called in to say, is there a high tackle? He's like, no, it's over his shoulder, but no, it's fine, play on. And then they just give up the game. So Graham Hughes, I think, you know, needs to have a long hard look at how he's, is he watching the game? I don't know. Maybe he was at the ice cream van because it was so hot.
Maybe you should be a TMO. Genuinely, I reckon you could be a good TMO. Would you want to do that or not?
Mate, if the ice cream van's there, fucking get me in. So, yeah. But yeah, Saints deserve to win. Courtney Lewis was awesome. You know, they'll qualify for Europe, obviously, but miss out in the top four, which they'll be frustrated about.
Tight game for Leicester at Worcester as well, wasn't it?
That is Leicester's bogey team. Worcester are, aren't they? They really are. And then Worcester started really well. And it was a hot day on the plastic pitch. I actually thought Worcester looks all right. In attack, they look really good. But Leicester just go back to what they know now, which is so, I love seeing it. Go back to old school scrum, line out drive. Genji gets close to the line, tapping and gooing, more into the cow sheds and back. And fair play. I think it shows Leicester's evolution, that they can win games and not play overly well and go that far behind on the scoreboard against the bogey monsters, the bogeymen of Worcester against them. But I mean, Worcester got a lot of work to do, didn't they, really? They're losing Francois Hogarth. He's going to be bringing up his white Lamborghini to Cov or Leamington, or he might stay where he is, Andrew, in Cheltenham. I'm not too sure. Yeah, a lot of work for Worcester to do.
They've got some good signings coming in next year, Worcester, and I think JT, Jonathan Thomas, the coach, will be looking forward to just getting this season done and dusted. You know, Scott Baldwin's coming from Quinns, good player. Obviously, you've got Duan van der Merwe going there. They've made some decent signings for next year.
Johnny Belt as well.
Yeah, that's huge for them as well.
He's at Glasgow, but he's apparently an unbelievable coach, so he's going as well.
That's huge for them. So they've now lost 20 on the spin, which is brutal in the Premiership. You know, I don't know, some of them have been, probably two or three in there that have been COVID results-based games, but the facts of the matter are they've won game one of the season and they haven't won since, so they'll be glad to get it over. And again, I think you can look at a team like Worcester. I think they were 17-6 up after about 45 minutes. And if there's, and this is my big gripe around what's happening in the Premiership at some point, and we'll get clarity on the decisions from next year. If there's nothing to play for, it doesn't really matter that you've lost. And you see that from Worcester at the minute. I'm not saying they're trying to lose games, because they're not, but the pain of losing games isn't quite as big when there's no jeopardy of relegation. And you just continually get on this run of, we lost another game, does it matter? It does matter. Of course it does on a Monday. It's tough to go through the review, but you know, there's no end consequence. So I think a team like Worcester, when you're 17-6 up at home to Leicester and it's a relegation battle for you or whatever, you perhaps don't lose that game, or you try harder, but when there's more jeopardy, you get more from the fans, you get more from yourself from the inside. And I just think that's why we've seen two games this weekend. You know, Worcester game, you'd expect them to go on and win it, and it was a change Leicester team as well, wasn't it? They picked a few sort of second choice players, and then the Newcastle fixture as well, where I just worry about ring fencing and seeing games like that don't mean so much when you've lost. So that's the one thing for me. And Worcester will look forward to next season, hopefully. And I hope there's jeopardy of relegation, but I don't think there will be.
Big shout out to Ted Hill, though. His try was brilliant and he looks the real deal.
Well, 20 losses on the spin. Which changing room would you rather be in? Worcester or Newcastle losing 74-3 on Sunday to Exeter?
Worcester.
Mate, I don't know. They're both my old teams, to be fair. You'd rather be in Newcastle. Newcastle's still got a very outside
slim
chance.
You'd rather be in Newcastle's, would you? Having had 74 points put on you. I wouldn't even take my pants off.
Well, if you noticed, the Newcastle team was a change-up team, so I wouldn't have been in the Shags, mate. The Shags went down to Exeter and got 74 put on them. I'd have been in the starting team for the big games. I only played home games when I was at Newcastle. I'd have been like, lads, great effort. You know, you tried hard. You took 70. The big boys are back this weekend. Yeah, 74.
I actually do feel like we're joking, but I do feel for them. Like, you look at Exeter, they've gone full goo. They've got a crowd in for the first time. And Newcastle have come to the furthest away team that they could, probably in their cars. I don't know. That's how they always used to travel around, in the cars and the buses, with their second string team. Floody, fair play, got 3 points at the start of the game. And they got done which way you want to look at it. Up the guts, up the jumper, pick and goo, around nine, on the wing. I mean, how many tries was it? 12 tries or something? Exeter, phenomenal. Obviously, Ali Heifer mentioned it at the end of the game. They're now trying things towards, and Slady mentioned it as well. The funny thing that I thought about it was, not the funny thing, that they were talking up Newcastle's D. Oh, they, you know, they came, they were really physical. And mate, you've just put 74 points on them. What do you mean?
Yeah. It was a training run at times, wasn't it? And you know, okay, Newcastle fronted up a bit. But do you know what it was to me? It was a bit of a Exeter's kind of flag in the sand, saying, yeah, there's all these other clubs here. Everyone's talking about Bristol, how good they are. Everyone's talking about Quinns, the run there on, how physical Sale are as well. And Exeter showed everything in that game. Like you said, Jim, the power game, the pick and goo, the razzmatazz at times as well. Some of the touches from Slade were ridiculous. Joe Simmons as well was phenomenal. The only thing I was really disappointed in, why Sam Simmons only got one? You know, he should have had four. Just give him the ball, boys. You know, let's make this record that he's got now even bigger. So they were phenomenal. And it's basically saying, we're back in front of our fans. We're a champion team. It's the first time their fans would have seen them live since they did the double last year, which was a phenomenal achievement, which now has been parked, hasn't it? Because new season, you just move on and everyone, you don't kind of forget, but they're in a different battle now, aren't they? Obviously, Toulouse are European champions now and they've lost that crown. So, yeah, we're here. These are our playoffs. We've been in the last however many finals, and we are the team to beat. So it was a decent reminder to all the other three teams in the playoffs that they're the big dogs.
Well, we'll have a chat to Manu Tuilagi shortly, but he's back on the weekend. Good to see him back on the pitch and Sale's win over Bristol.
Is he came on. It was great to see him back. He comes on, he obliterates Max Malins in a ruck, and then they go on to score a try and win the game from there. So, however much they're paying Manu, it's not enough, Alex Anderson. Pay him more. He's just signed a 2-year deal, hasn't he? So, great to see him back. And it was a hell of a ding-dong, wasn't it, on Friday night? Half-time, it was 0-0. And, you know, when you look at that scoreline and you think, how shit is that? You know, imagine some of the Pro 14 games that are 0-0 at half-time. You're probably thinking it is a terrible game. But actually watching it, it was the best 0-0. You know, there was end-to-end rugby. There was physicality. There was, you know, Bristol were chucking the kitchen sink at Sale. Sale were defending like their lives depended on it. It was a phenomenal game of ruggers from two of the teams that could meet again in the playoffs, depending on where both teams finish. I loved it, actually.
What about man of the match, Jean-Luc Dupré? Have you ever seen a man take a kickoff and run through about 15 people? Like,
I have, Jim. I have.
When?
Jim Hamilton against India.
India. There ain't many that can do it. But all I'm saying, every time he got the ball, I was like, my goodness me. Because most of the time, and even under Alex Anderson, you're thinking, just set the kickoff up. Just set it up. Just take it into contact. Hit the deck. Hit the deck as hard as you can so you don't get blasted back 5 or 6 metres.
You've done well to catch it to start off with. You normally bounce off your head.
Well, generally, yeah, you're right. If it's rolled along the floor, it's come off my head and someone else has caught and I've just carried them in. Jean-Luc Dupré, watch that monster carry a rugby ball. My goodness me, hard as nails. And that's what makes it really interesting, doesn't it? Like, in terms of, you know, we're talking about Bristol and Sale, and we're obviously throwing Exeter. Don't be horrible to Quinns, but they don't stand a chance against any of them three. And you look at the different styles of play. You know, that defence from Sale and the physicality, and you've got Faf, friend of the show, at nine. Sale could do it, you know. Bristol's had a few talking points. Obviously, Semi, Ranrandra, my goodness me. Should he have had a red? Well, there was a lot of kerfuffle going on with the TMO, weren't there?
Yeah, there was. And you're looking at it, and I was trying to work out, could you give two yellow cards in the same phase of play? Because he obviously got yellow carded for the secondary high tackle in the 22. And Christoph Ridley, the ref, he didn't want to look back at that. He was like, no, I'm happy that that's a yellow card. That's why he's gone to the bin already. But the other one, it's millimetres, isn't it? You know, could it have been a red?
Yeah, but it's
you've seen him give, you've seen him given for that. You have seen him given for that without a shadow of a doubt.
So I feel for Christoph Ridley. I felt for him in the match because he seemed a bit flustered, right? And it's all well and good having the TMO coming in and you can hear that on the TV. What I wonder, Andrew, and you might be able to answer this, So Austin's obviously one of the best in the business, right? He picks stuff up. He has an opinion, apart from the European Cup final where he was calling for a penalty that never was at the end of the game. If the lads are on comms calling, oh, that's a red card, or they need to go and look at that, I think the TMO can hear them. I think there's almost like part of... Well, there you go. Because on Semi's second tackle, which was a flying arm on the cover tackle, which he got binned for as well, which was a sin binning as well, the TMO is telling Christophe to go back and look at that, I think, off the back of the commentators. Christophe didn't want to go back to it. Then he's like, right, I've got to go back to it. And you've got him, and you've got Hamish, the lad with the old bold spot as well. And there was just too many voices. I'm all for the linesman coming in. I'm all for the TMO coming in. But I actually felt for Christophe there because there was so much going on and they had to manage to make a big call. Who's sending Semi off? That's all I want to know.
Ian Tempest was the TMO. And I think the big thing around it is... the TMO can hear the BT Sport commentators. And I generally think that needs to change.
Yeah, I agree with you, Goody.
But it's not a red card. It's millimetres away from being a red card. It just catches him on his chest as opposed to initial contact on his chin. But you've seen him given red cards.
We can have a chat now with the man who made his much-anticipated return from injury in that one. Sale, England and British and Irish Lions centre Manu Tuilagi joins us. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate.
Mate, it's great to see you back on the field. Sale, they've made the top four. Basically, you're losing the game against Bristol. Manu comes on, obliterates a rock, and you win the game. It's all down to you, isn't it?
That first half was massive for us, and that's where we won the game.
Let's talk about the obvious, the long injury that you've had off the back of a few tough injuries for you. Firstly, how amazing was it to be back and get a bit of open field as soon as you got on to test the Achilles out? But and also, how tough's it been, mate? Because I think, I don't know how much of the media you see or you even need to see, but you've had a torrid time of injuries. We've, you know, me and Goody have been a small part of your journey, watching you grow up and stuff like that, and watching you turn into one of the best players in the world. And part of that narrative has been around some of your injuries, which has been unfortunate. How tough has this one been, and how good is it to be back?
Yeah, being back was amazing for me. Just to be out there with the boys, even just getting out there on the training field with them. Been watching them for the last 6-7 months. The way the boys have been playing, to finally be able to try and help them, it was massive. I feel very blessed to be back playing again. Having a lot of injuries for me has helped me a lot mentally. You know, in the past, it wasn't very... I couldn't handle it in the past, especially early on in my career, which, you know, probably contributed to the bad things that happened in my career off the field. But I think this time, having that experience, you know, just stay positive. You know, whatever's going to happen will happen. And I'm a massive believer of, you know, everything happens for a reason. So for me, just getting back was an amazing feeling.
And coming back from an injury like an Achilles injury that you had, so serious, and it's ended a lot of careers previously, hasn't it? So it's a massive thing to get back, and a player of your stature and size and the way you play to be able to get back to looking so good again. But I'm reading and hearing that you started some salsa dancing to try and help with the Achilles. I'm like, I can't imagine that. All I'm remembering is Freddie Tuilagi doing his dances, and there's Manu doing some salsa.
Manu would have watched me and the boys in life just unleashing on the dance floor. He was taking notes. He had his colouring book with his nappy on, thinking, I'm going to use that one day. And you are.
Yeah, it was tough. Like, it was the Achilles. I couldn't believe it when it happened, and just been told, oh, your Achilles is ruptured. I was like, oh, great, another one. But the guys at Sale, Nav, the physio that you know, rehab my Achilles, it's been amazing. He's a genius. We had all sorts of stuff, the salsa, hiking in the Peak District, just to get it strong, like walking before I run. Made sure I walked 20 or 30K in a week before I come back running again. But salsa was the last one to get the moving without thinking about it too much, because the salsa is, you're always on your toes. It works the calves, you know, instead of standing still in the gym and doing hundreds of calf raises. Nav came up with the idea of you know, one of the guys, the physio there, his missus teaches salsa. So Charlotte came in and, you know, fair play to her. Done the first lesson and I came home and the guy, Ben, I sent Elvis my dog to. He rang me up just to update on my dog. And he was like, how's salsa going? And I was like, I don't fucking know that. I've just had one. And apparently I said to my missus, like, how do you know that? And I said shit on the social media. Alex Anderson has just done the interview straight after that and he's just told everyone that I'm doing. And he told everyone as well that I'm doing a dance for the boys. So after 5 or 6 weeks, I had to do a performance for the boys.
And how was it?
I've never been so nervous in my life. But it was good to cheer the boys up.
I'm sure. Manu, well, I need to get the contact details. I don't know if you've seen my calves recently, but they've disintegrated in the last 4 years. So ideally, I could do with that because I'll be honest, I'm struggling to even get out of bed these days. But it's quite funny and it's great to see you smiling and great to see you laughing. And it's, I think people listen to this, but also people watching you get back to the field from all perspectives of fans, whether you're a Sale Sharks fan, a Leicester Tigers fan, an England fan, and maybe even a British and Irish Lions fan as well. But Alex Anderson, you mentioned there, and I think we can all see what he's done to the club in the short space of time. How positive has it been with him at the helm? How positive has it been for you, obviously signing another 2-year contract while still being injured? But he speaks about you. I mean, I know he speaks highly about you when we're at Saracens, but you know, him being at the club now, how big has that been for you personally, but also the club as a whole?
He's unbelievable, genuinely. One of the best coaches you come across. He's a genuine bloke, like a good bloke, a good person, which is first and foremost. And then his brain, is the way he goes about his coaching and his teaching, the way he get the boys together. It's amazing because you can see on the field how together we are. And that's what he is trying to build here. I think, you know, with him, with Alex coming from such a successful environment, I think he wants to create that and more. And I think it's showing, you know. I'm so happy where I am. You wake up and you want to go in. You want to go. It makes it so much easier because that he can't buy that. You know, he's special, and for me, I'm just blessed to be here, and you know, with him coaching.
You talk about that togetherness and everything, and we're coming towards the end of the season now, and you know, the playoffs that you're in. We just got to sort of kind of work out where Sale are going to end up in the playoffs, whether they're going to be at home or away, and who they're going to play against. But one of the things you talk about, you know, going in together and being part of this team that's really grown under Alex Anderson. You had a trip up Snowdonia recently. Which some of the boys have come out and said it was the hardest thing they've ever done, you know, going up there and seeing the sunrise. How tough was that? Because I used to fucking hate stuff like that. Like, I'm a rugby player, not a walker of pills, but part of your rehab has been doing that, hasn't it? So you must have loved it.
No, I went down to the trip. We had 2 days there. You know, the last day was the climb up Snowdon, but the whole squad went there, like even us, the injured boys. We had training there. We had a fun couple of days. And, you know, we listened to ex-Army, ex-Marines. We listened to Alan, that he takes people to the North Pole. That's the biggest part of what Alex is doing, is bringing different things in, not just rugby, not just rugby. It's trying to see other things and try and relate that to us as a team, and trying to bring that togetherness. And I didn't do the climb, but the boys said it was tough, the toughest thing that they've ever done. It's hard enough climbing it in daylight, let alone climbing it at nighttime. Trying to stay together as a team to make sure that everyone gets up there safely as well, because it's literally rocks. And the boys, funny thing, they said that the journey back literally, when the boys got on the bus, no one said one word. No one said one word until they got back to Carrington. And I think that's how tough it was.
Didn't someone have to carry Fafter Klerk up or not? That's the rumour that I heard. I don't know whether that's true or not. Someone had to carry cradle Fafter Klerk up like a baby. We had him on the podcast, so no, we can talk about him because he's a friend.
He was probably up there first, knowing Faf, very competitive.
I'd have been with you, Manu, saying, send me the picture from the top, boys. I'm staying in bed.
Manu, let's talk about some of the headline stuff then that comes out when, I'm going to speak about you in the third person, when Manu Tuilagi takes the field, everything starts getting spun again, doesn't it? England, the British and Irish Lions tour. You know, we've had a personal chat about the British and Irish Lions tour a couple of years ago, about your appetite to be on one of them tours. Now, it's probably a little bit early in your kind of rehab and return back to play. Is that carrot still there for you though, Manu? Do you know what I mean? If you get back and find some form, and again, without speaking for you or other people, you're obviously an asset to any team. Is that opportunity there? Is that something that you're looking at?
I mean, 100%, you know, for me, if I know that I'm fit and I know that I'm ready, and, you know, to be given the opportunity, you know, it's not an opportunity that comes lightly. And, you know, it's an honour to represent such a unique team, and, you know, it's the pinnacle of rugby in the Northern Hemisphere. And, you know, if I'm fit and ready, given the opportunity, yeah, 100%, it would be an honour.
Has Gats been in touch at all? I know there's a load of emails that went round and stuff like that. Are you, as he mentioned,
come on,
Manu,
we're all friends. You can tell us.
I think I've just got to focus on the.
He got
that
an
means
email.
He's on standby.
Manu got an email.
Yes.
Mate, you'll be making millions of Lions fans delighted that there's conversations going on at least.
Oh, man. But yeah, you know, it'll be amazing. But for me, like I said before in a lot of interviews, that for me, it's just one game, one training session, one game at a time. Because, you know, the way I have been with injuries and stuff, I really got to have to focus and try and complete every day.
Yeah, you've got to be like that, I think, Manu. I know we're jesting here and we're trying to get something, and I think it's the desperation to see you kind of flourish, because you're 30 now. Can you believe, Manu, I just literally felt like yesterday where you were in your nappy and we were around your brother's house and barbecue and you're there in your nappy with your colouring book. I'm sat there like a king just getting beer and food brought to me by your good self, and Henry was like just pointing at you to go and get it, mate. You've come a long way. But where is the appetite now? So you've signed a couple of years. If you know, if you can map it out, and we're chatting a little bit about it here, have you got kind of in your mind where you see your sunset?
I think for me, obviously, I've just signed a new contract here at Sale, and, you know, I'm happy. I really enjoyed playing rugby, just getting back playing rugby. And for me, that's the most important thing. And, you know, whatever happens after this couple of years, we'll see. But at the moment, I'm really enjoying it.
You're very happy at Sale now. And the Tuilagi family is, you know, ingrained in Leicester's history. You know, I know Freddie's turning 50 soon, isn't he? I've sent him a message to Brian, his son sent me a message, said, can you send me a video wishing Freddie happy birthday? So I've done the all I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom, because that's all Freddie ever says. But how hard was it at the time for you to leave Leicester, you know, under the circumstances? And it's great to see the smile back on your face up at Sale, but Leicester will always be in your heart as well, won't it?
100%. It was tough. You know, my brothers, all of us have played for the Tigers. So, you know, it wasn't an easy decision. But for me, it was the right decision. Leicester will always have a place in my heart, 100%. You know, it's just unfortunate of what happened, but that's life. And you move on.
Just looking at the time that you've spent at Leicester, and I mean, Jim shared some of his memories of when he was at Leicester and you were in your nappies and colouring in books. What what memories do you have of Goody and Jim back in the day? You can say anything. You can give us whatever stories you want. Just don't hold
not
back.
Not all of them.
Just meeting Jim, and I was like, what the fuck? This guy's fucking massive.
And shit.
He just kept staring at me. And how funny is that that you're saying that with your brother, cousins, uncles, nieces and nephews are all bigger than me.
And did you think the same thing when you first saw Goody as well?
What massive. I don't think I was that big back then, son.
Goody had a good hair back then as well.
I mean, watching it fall out, Manu, how it did, I don't think you've seen that in Samoa. I think genuinely they would have thought an alien might have landed on the islands. So let's just talk about some of the players that are playing at the minute. Now, again, a little bit kind of headline-y. When you talk about the best centres in the world, your name will often pop up, which is amazing. For you, when you look at some of the centres that you've played against that are out there playing now, who do you rank up there in the kind of top two or three?
In terms of the North Hampshire, I'd say Slaney definitely up there for me.
Really? That's interesting. I'm not saying that's a surprise. I'm saying that with everything that's happened with Slaney not being picked for the Lions, if you're saying that he's one of the best players, give us a reason why. Why is Slaney so good?
Mate, just watching him play and like playing alongside him, you know, skillful. He's got it all. He doesn't look it, but he's physical as well as being skillful.
And against, so when you're playing for England and you're playing against the All Blacks and South Africa and Scotland, all the big teams, anyone where you're like, right, I need to be on it today, or you're a little bit worried?
I think that Ireland, I'd say definitely Bandy and Henshaw.
What about me running down your channel for Scotland? Do you remember me taking that short ball? Do you remember me taking that short ball, Manu, around the corner or not? You might not remember it, but I remember it. I think I got put into next week and my shirt was ripped off and I lost my boot as well. But nonetheless, I got touched by you.
Massive hypothetical, but how much would you love to see like the eligibility rules change one day so that one day you could, like, surely you'd love to play for Samoa one day?
I think for me, you know, England gave me the opportunity. I think that's it for me.
Is that a no then, Manu? Is that a no? You wouldn't? this is the thing. Manu knows how big time he is now. He's like, Freddie's on the phone, who's his agent, Global Bros. Say anything, but don't say everything. That's it. So, Manu, would you go back to play for Samoa or not? If Eddie Jones was like, Manu, mate, we've had enough. Slady's unbelievable. Samoa, get on the phone, get on the blower and say, Manu, come home, son, you're in. Yes or no?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
You have to give us a yes or a no, and then we can talk about your gin.
Oh, let's talk about the gin.
Let's get to the gin.
I'll take him out. That he means yes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the gin. And obviously, we mentioned your brothers earlier, and you're part of the gin company, Tuolangi Gin. How did it come about, and how do we get our hands on it? Because there's nothing better than probably a Tuolangi Gin and Elderflower Tonic for me. That'd be my tipple.
No, it's Freddie, really. Generally, the reason that he decided to do the Tuolangi Gin, because he drinks so much of it. it's generally, he's drinking so much of it that he was having a chat with the Graham, the guy that he's done it with. He's having a chat with him like, Freddie, you drink so much gin. Why don't you do your own gin?
And he's like, because I'll drink it. I'll drink it all, so there'll be none left.
he loves it, mate. So, yeah, that's how it come about. But, yeah, it's going well. Just send him a text, Gooley, and he'll send you guys some gin and some rum. Rum now as well.
Oh, is it not too rum, rum as well, mate. Yeah, I'll turn into Jimbo, mate. I'll turn into Jimbo after some rum. You don't want to say that now.
All right, Matty. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, mate. Really appreciate it. And great to see you back out in the field. And hopefully, well, no doubt we'll see you in South Africa, won't we?
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thanks, Manu. Cheers, buddy. Appreciate it. Great to see you back, mate.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, we'll see you in that Lion shirt, no doubt.
And he's been playing for Samoa at 38 as well. Love it.
playing prop.
Mate. Doesn't matter. You're still playing. We've heard it here all first. Right. Manu's going to be playing prop for Samoa.
You and Logo.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, lads.
Right. Cheers, pal.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Oh, could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Top loco.
Top lad. Salt
yeah,
the earth.
Absolute legend. Yeah.
Is our man who gave us loads there. Basically, he's on the plane to South Africa. he doesn't rate anyone apart from Henry Slade and Bundy Aki and the other Irish guy, Henshaw. And he's going to be playing for Samoa. He gave us it all, the exclusives there. And that the gin, basically there's none left. So if anyone wants to buy the Tuolangi gin, you can't.
Freddie's drank it all. Yeah, Freddie's drank
it all. But buy the rum instead and you'll be hungover for about 10 days. Salt of the earth is our Manu.
Yeah, he is. I love the Tuolangi boys. Yeah, I haven't played with them all. You know, and you see Manu now, every time you see him, he's just got a massive smile on his face, hasn't he? So it's so great to see him back fit. He's such an effervescent character. You know, not a care in the world. All the injuries he's had, he's like, I'm just happy playing rugby. I just love his accent as well. You know, the Samoan Leicester coming out of him.
He does sound a bit German. Like, it's kind of a mix. It's like my multilingual. That's just the cook dash and slashy ploppish lavish.
He sounds nothing like that, Jim, to be honest.
No, very true. He has got the Leicester accent.
Yeah, great to see him back. Imagine playing with him. Just give me the fucking ball, chief. And then he's
I did play with him.
He's giggling 24/7. So, great signing for Sale. I know there was obviously a big pull for him to leave Leicester. And it was, you know, tough on the old heartstrings and stuff. But, you know, with Alex Sanderson at the helm and what they've done to get Manu fit again, thinking outside, imagine Manu salsa dancing in front of the lads. You wouldn't be taking the piss, would you? You'd be like, mate, Manu, that was awesome. That's, you know, I'm giving you a 10 for that, yeah. Manu.
You'd be clapping. You'd be clapping, but you'd be pissing yourself under your shirt. But that's what I mean. I think, look, as a fan, Goody, and having played with Manu and watching him flourish and turn into arguably the best player in the world in his prime, seeing what he's gone through with his injuries because of the way that he plays, like, I wanted to ask them questions, like, yeah. I want to see him go on a Lions tour. I want to see him in South Africa carving up. Do you know what I mean? I want to see him playing for England again.
Oh, it sounds like he's going
too far. It did sound like he was going, didn't it?
He didn't say it, but you read between the lines, and I'm pretty good at reading between the lines and the Lions. He's going. He's on that plane at some point. But yeah, great fun having him on.
Well, Eddie Jones will be naming his England squad for the Summer's Test Series against USA and Canada shortly. So is there anyone that you guys are particularly hoping will be in there?
Oh, it'll be interesting from a forwards perspective. Andrew, you can add some more into the mix. Alex Donbrandt?
Yeah, got to be.
Second rows will be interesting as well. With the injuries to, obviously, Launchbury, with Johnny Hill going.
Charlie Hills. Yeah, Charlie Hills will go, won't he?
Charlie Hills, yeah.
This is the thing with Eddie Jones. What do you do? Because you've got players like Billy Vunipola, like George Ford, you know, boys that have just that his top tier of player or his perceived top tier of player that haven't made the Lions tour. Do you give them the summer off, or do you just, you know, we're playing USA and Canada, so effectively you'd expect our under 16s could beat him without a bit. Why are you being horrible, Jim?
I mean, yeah, I just hope they come and do well because I love the USA. Well, I don't. I like the idea of going to Texas and putting a cowboy out, and that's as close to get to America.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, Marcus Smith, I want to see him at 10. You know,
ahead of Joe Simmons?
Well, I'd like to see them both have a dig, actually. And I think, do you know what? At the minute, Marcus Smith deserves a shot at being the first choice 10, you know, in the starting game, the first game. So, you know, Joe Simmons is class as well. You've got two youngsters there. Give them both a go. You know, get them in the squad. Give George Ford a rest. You know, you're not going to learn anything about George Ford by playing him against USA and Canada. Players like that deserve a shot. You know, Paolo Adogu, give him a cap. You know, you got him in the Six Nations, didn't pick him, had him there picking up 16 grand a week, which he was very happy with, but no ruggers. In the backs as well, Dan Robson, give him a shot at nine now, or Ben Spencer, bring him back because you took him to the World Cup final. And then
I'd like to see Ben Spencer in the mix.
Scotland's squad to face Georgia and Romania was named today, Jim. What'd you make of it?
Oh, well, there's a few interesting shouts in here because there's a few lads that are English / Scottish / don't want to be English. Ewan Ashman's a big one. It came out in the news that Eddie Jones was desperate for him to be English. He was like, no, I'm not hearing it. I'm from Scotland, pal. And he knows that Scotland are better. So he's gone with them. Nick Alterac, English, now Scottish. Loosehead at Northampton. He's done the rounds.
Jim Hamilton.
Bath. No, I've told you I have officially retired. But a couple of other big ones. Josh Bayliss as well. He's been class for Bath. He was class when he came on at the weekend.
Yeah, quick as well.
Another big one, actually, who's played really well for Leicester under the radar, Cameron Henderson. Really, really impressed with him. So there's a few forwards there. Some good backs. Jack Blaine, been class for Edinburgh. Cole Forbes, interesting one. He came over from Super Rugby. I think he was in the All Blacks under 20s, been carving up for Glasgow, and now he's going to be Scottish. Of course he is. He's a Kiwi, so you're in. Rufus McLean, another good player. Matt Scott back in, who's been playing well at Leicester Tigers. Kyle Steyn, his quality on the wing, he's back fit. Either way, they're going to have a hell of a time. Romania, Georgia, here we go. Last time we were in Romania, we saw Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think. And last time I was in Georgia, Bobby Skinstad nearly got us thrown out with the Barbarians, but it was hell of a tour and probably a story for another time. So, interesting times.
Two of your very few test victories, Jim, weren't they, Georgia and Romania? So, yeah, reminiscing.
They were it. Not few, they were it.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah. But a big apology to all our listeners then, because I think we've just lost most of them with you going through some Scottish boys that no one's ever heard of, Jim. So, good effort. Come
well,
on, Scotland.
We'll see in 3 or 4 years' time when we win the World Cup. And these players will come through and come to the fore, Andrew. You can't take the piss, mate. We put 50 points on you in the Six Nations.
There's a few big names floating around in the rumour mill this week, though, isn't there?
We've not done the rumour mill for a long time. Let's get some more headlines, eh? Let's just throw a few out there. Sergio Parise to Quins. Now,
you what?
I'm telling you now, I don't. Next car fee pulls, my mate Sergio, I'm going to ring him and say, mate, look, I've got experience in this. My back's gone. If I was a horse, they would shoot me. That's all I know, if you can say that. But you are Sergio Parise. You do suit London. Get to Quins, mate. You're in. And I'll come down and we'll spend some time together and VIP it.
Can't see that. Not with Don Brunt there. And you know, all due respect to Sergio Parise, he's about 46 now.
It's a rumour though, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a rumour. I'm just saying I can't see it. Denny Solomona. Possibly leaving Sale to go to Bristol's. Not that they haven't got any wingers, Bristol's, because they've got Nalanga. Ridiculous. I suppose Max Malins is going back to Sarri's, my old salary cap, next season. So that'll free up that slot. So that's possible. Denny Solomona's when he's on form, he's quality as well. Some of his finishes have been unbelievable.
I've not seen him, Andrew. I ain't seen
him. He hasn't played a lot this year.
Yeah, I know. But in general, he's not a player. Maybe I've not looked at it enough and thought, you know, he's as good as everyone makes out. But anyway, what do I know?
All right, shall we finish things off with the good, the bad and the ugly then?
Yes, let's. Loads of good as ever this week in the world of rugby. And we're going to start off in Australia. We've bagged the Australians a lot recently. They'd lost all their games in the Trans-Tasman Super Rugby competition to the Kiwis. But this week, the Queensland Reds, they absolutely dominated the Chiefs. Well, they didn't. They were dominating them at halftime, 33-3. They broke the duck for the Australian teams by beating the Chiefs. So yeah, tip the slipper to Queensland Reds. What else was good this weekend? We'll go over to Italy and Jim's favourite Italian team. They didn't win a game in the Pro 14, I don't think, but they have continued their renaissance and they are dominating the Rainbow Cup, Jim. They beat Connacht this weekend, 20 points to 12. They're sitting top of the tree in that with two rounds to go. I think they only play one more game. I don't know how that competition works. I kind of tried to look at it. Is it the top two that finish and just go straight to the final?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is. And
so they're top at the minute. They've got a chance.
They're flying the flag. Hola and all that. Buongiorno.
Hola? Hola Spanish.
Yeah.
All right, that will do. They must have a Spanish international playing for him. So tip the slipper to Benetton. What else was good in there? We'll stay in the Rainbow Cup, actually. Glasgow and Munster, they got wins over the Dragons and Cardiff, that respectively.
That a boy.
Yeah, so they're chasing Benetton down to see who is going to finish top, or maybe top two. I don't even know who goes to the final. Probably can't play the South African teams because they're not part of it, but they are part of it. Eat out, but stay home. Don't play the South
Africans. Put your mask on and put it down by your Adam's apple, but don't eat out.
Exactly. Who knows? So, yeah, tip the slipper to Glasgow and Munster. We'll go back to the Premiership now. And we're going to go, of course, we're going to go to one of my old clubs. Yes, we are. And not just the club, an individual player. Thomas Young's worldy of an offload to put Dan Robson in for a try definitely gets a mention.
That was a fluke.
It wasn't a fluke, mate. Thomas Young has got skills. But some good news, some other good news is Dan Robson got engaged at the weekend as well.
Can't wait for the stag, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Sod the wedding, Dan. Just get us on the stag do. He's punching away above his weight and, you know, lovely girl. And he had to get the stepladder out to propose as well because he's a bit shorter. But yeah, congratulations to Dan Robson on getting engaged. What else is good? Exeter and Henry Slade especially. A bit of a backlash from his interview around the vaccinations, but dominated on the rugby field. He got man of the match. Sale, they get a mention in the good. They beat Bristol in a humdinger of a game. Securing themselves the top four for the first time since they won the league in 2006, where Jim Hamilton scored a try in the final after the game was lost. Hell of a game on Friday night. Defence was phenomenal. Manu's back. Alex Anderson at the helm. They're going to be a real threat towards the semi-finals and potentially the final. But the good this week, Jim, goes to your favourite team, the Harlequins. Harlequins.
Oh, I watched it.
The Harlequins, yeah. Harlequins as a club get the good this week. The men's team beat Bath to secure the first playoff spot for 7 years in the semi-finals, so tip the slipper to them. But also the women's team, they beat Saracens in the Allianz Premier 15s final.
It was a fluke.
To end Saracens' dominance of that. I think they've won it the last 3 years, haven't they, Sarries?
Yeah, they have, and Quinns won it comfortably.
So the good this week goes to Harlequins as a rugby club as a whole, so well done them. The bad, Agen took 50 at home this week versus Racing and are now officially the worst ever team in the top 14's history, having secured only 2 losing bonus points all year. Horrific season. Lost every game. They're going to be the worst team in the history of the top 14. So they get mentioned the bad. What else was bad? The Dragons. I mean, Luke Narraway. Just blame Naz. Losing 27-16 at home to Glasgow. It's like Glasgow's third team as well, wouldn't it, Jim?
No, Glasgow, all right. I'm trying to be positive. Naz, sort it out, mate. The Dragons ain't breathing fire. They ain't breathing fire anymore.
Certainly not. What else was bad? Cameron Redpath, some bad news for Scottish rugby fans after bursting onto the scene in the Six Nations. Unfortunately, he's ruptured his ACL, so he'll be out for the rest of 2021. And you feel really bad for him, actually, because this time it's his right knee. He did his left knee a couple of years ago in the ACL department as well. So he bounced back from that one. Now he's done his right knee. Serious, serious injuries for a young player full of talent. I just blame his dad, Brush, Brian Redpath, because he was too short. So it must be something to do with jeans and Cam's too tall for Brian's body. What else is bad? Graham Hughes, the TMO. I'm going to put him in there. He must have been going for a long poo or just queuing at the ice cream van because he missed a few clear and obvious things in the Northampton v Wasps game. So we'll give him a mention in the bad. Worcester, you're getting a mention in the bad as well. They lost again. It was a much better performance, but they've now lost 20 games on the spin. That ain't good. That's bad. The COVID outbreak at Gloucester, Jim. That's bad news, isn't it? We hope everyone's okay, but that means their game is cancelled this weekend. But the bad, unfortunately, can only go to one team, one place, my old club. One of my many old teams, and it's unfortunately Newcastle Falcons, who take 74 points down at Exeter. A bad day at the office. So, yeah, you just got to get the bad this week, Newcastle, unfortunately. Then the ugly, only one bit of ugly this weekend. Damien McKenzie's tackle on Tate McDermott for the Chiefs against the Queensland Reds. He jumps into the tackle, shoulders to the head, but it's not just about the tackle, it's about the reaction. So the pundits and Brad Webber, the skipper, just couldn't believe he'd been red carded. I'm like, what are you on about? He's jumped into a tackle and ploughed his shoulder into the kid's head. It's a red all day long, boys.
Yeah, they're still denying, reaccusing. That is so 2006. Like, you know, you've got to evolve from that.
Exactly. So the ugly this week goes to Damien McKenzie, the pundits, and Brad Webber for their lack of understanding around the tackle law these days.
Thanks, Gooden. You got a shout out to finish off with, don't you, Jim?
Yes, I do. And I was going to say it's the season in terms of the summer of people doing great things for charity, but it seems to be a continuation of some people doing amazing things, some amazing people doing amazing things. But this one's very good. Of course it is. It's called the Coast to Coast Challenge in 24 hours. It's to raise money and awareness for a charity, Andrew, that's close to our heart. My name's Doddy Foundation. There's 8 lads that are doing it. They're cycling, running, kayaking and walking 175 miles across the south of Scotland. So from west to east, they're mixing it up along the way to all to raise money and awareness for the My Name's Doddy Foundation. I know there's many people out there that have reached out to me that are doing similar things. But if you want to get behind this one, just go to justgiving.com fundraising/coast-to-coast in 24 hours and you can show your support to them and the My Name's Doddy Foundation.
And Goody, you've got one as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Looking forward to this myself as well, actually. So the Blue Light Cycling Club, which I've mentioned before, is the cycling club dedicated to raising money for our blue light services. We've got a cycle tour of part of England this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're starting off at 7 o'clock in the morning on Friday from Scotland Yard, raising money for things like COPS charity. So wishing everyone, including myself, that's on this cycle trip for a few days, all the best.
Tell
the piles that. Yeah, I'm doing it, Jim. I'm doing it. I'm doing some of it. I can't do it all because the ankle is still fucked, but I'm going to do it as much as I can. But some of them are doing four days, 80 miles a day at least. And we get to go around Silverstone as well. So looking forward to that. The Blue Light Cycling Club for our blue light services and raising money for the charities that support their families.
Well, while we're talking about you, Andrew, let's talk about me quickly. And I'm giving myself a shout out. Me and FNL Mike. If anyone sees me on a bike from Edinburgh Castle down to somewhere in Northumberland, there's a castle down there, Hoxham, Hexham Castle or something like that. I'm doing 120 kilometres, remember, with a back spasm and a calf missing. So if anyone sees me, give me a horn. It's going to be disgraceful. There's like 2,000 metres ascendancy on the climb. I won't flinch. I'll probably be walking in my cleats. But there's a lot of people out there doing amazing things. So anyone who's reached out to myself, Goody, I know people reach out to you all the time. A big shout out to everyone who is doing amazing things. I'm basically talking about myself as well, Andrew. Look at me. I'm just so charitable. Oh, and yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Goody. Thank you, Tim. And thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube and head on over to Spotify and we'll see you there.
Rugby Spot.
Spotted Pod.